Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Coming up on NBA Today, we have up-to-the-minute reporting on when we will see these stars back in action. Adrian Wojnarowski, Ramona Shelburne, they are standing by with the latest. And Zach Lowe, he says tonight's matchup between the Warriors and the Mavs is the most important game of the season thus far. Huh, Zach coming in hot today. Don't miss that discussion. Plus, Donovan Mitchell with another poster. But what is it good enough to make Perk's love letter to the NBA? I mean, Perk doing poetry? Sign me up. We begin today's show with Paul George, though. He exited the Clippers game on Tuesday night against the Thunder after colliding with OKC guard Lou Dort's knee. He landed a little bit awkwardly here. He had to be helped back to the locker room. And Om Young Masuk, he reported that George exited Crypto.com Arena on a cart. For more, we bring in senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, what more can you tell us about Paul George's injury here?
A right knee sprain. Malika, 2 to 3 weeks on a reevaluation of that knee, and the Clippers expect he's going to be out at least the rest of the regular season. Nine games left, and I think for the Clippers, this is deflating news. This was a team that, with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, started to look like, you know, it could play with anybody in what feels like a wide open Western Conference, but they don't know right now. Based on this knee injury, if they could get Paul George back in the playoffs. Certainly, I think he's out now, at least for this regular season. This is a team that was 6-11 without him this season, and certainly this becomes very much a Kawhi Leonard-centric team without Paul George, who now sits here for the rest of the regular season, and then they'll get a better idea with the Clippers if there's any chance, if they make the playoffs, if he could return. But this is a team right now that, even though they're in fifth place, you know, you lose two games in the West, and all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in the play-in. So they have their work cut out for them with what right now is the 10th toughest schedule left the rest of the way.
Well, the Clippers, they currently sit at fifth in the Western Conference. Woj, thank you. Please don't go too far. I want to bring in the rest of the panel here as we begin NBA Today, presented by American Express. Zach, your reaction to this news?
Yeah, I mean, it's troubling. Norm Powell's also hurt, by the way, so they keep on taking hits. Woj mentioned their margin for error is very little just to escape the play-in tournament and even to make the playoffs. And I just looked it up right now. They are losing or have lost tiebreakers to Minnesota, Utah, Oklahoma City, Golden State, Dallas, and Phoenix. So they can't really hang their hat on a lot of tiebreakers. And look, they played Oklahoma City last night. Every time they play the Thunder, that throws into relief what they gave up to build this team. And the clock continues to tick. The older Paul and Kawhi get, the more injury-prone they're going to get, the more likely seasons will go sideways like this. It's just, you just cross your fingers, because when they are whole, they can play with anybody. They could make a finals run when they are healthy. We just got to cross our fingers for that timetable to be on the short side.
So 2 years ago, we all kind of had Kawhi Leonard as like a top five player in the league, right? And we've been waiting on him to get healthy. He's healthy now.
And playing
right?
a lot.
Right, and he's playing a lot. So I look at the time when he was in Toronto. Yes, he had Kyle Lowry and the young Fred VanVleet and Siakam, but those guys wasn't at the time like all-star caliber players, except for Kyle Lowry, right? And when I look at the pieces around him right now that he have a Russell Westbrook. Big Zubac has been playing some exceptional ball. Terrence Mann has shown us signs that he's capable of rising to the occasion, even in the postseason. So when I see guys like Nicholas Batum, who's the experienced vet, and I see the inconsistency of the Western Conference.
Yeah. Wide open.
Yeah, it is wide open. So it's not like I just have the utmost, like the ultimate trust in the Nuggets, and I just have trust in the Golden State Warriors, and I don't and trust in all those teams in the West that I could just say I'm gonna count the Clippers out even without Paul George. Mm.
And speaking of without Paul George, the Clippers are 4-2 when Kawhi Leonard is the only star, no PG on the floor. So you would think that, hey, if this is go time, that they still have a chance. But it's kind of wild to me, you guys, that at this point in the year, we're approaching April, that this team that is fifth in the West might think about slipping out of the playoffs. Like, it's crazy that the reality is, especially with the play-in, that this team without Paul George for likely, you know, the being reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks could slide. And that's just like you said, Perk, the craziness of the West. Look at the standings right there. They're 5-35 losses, the 10th seed, 36 losses. This is crazy. They need him now. But I do think there's still, I guess you can say, hope for them in the sense that if they can keep buying time, maybe you'll have the health. But health has not consistently been on the Clippers side.
It is not. And it's been a rough season for Paul George considering the amount of time he's missed. He missed 7 straight games with a knee issue in November and December. He missed 5 straight games with a hamstring issue in January. It's, I guess, the best possible news considering the way that it looked watching the game last night. But, man, you just wish for Paul George's sake. He's so much fun to watch. Yep. He's going to get back and get healthy because the Clippers absolutely need him. I want to shift to another team in the Western Conference. It is a news-packed morning here, my friends. We're talking about Zion Williamson. Woj, what more can you tell us about Zion?
And Malika, reevaluated with that hamstring injury in another 2 weeks. He's going to start ramping up on the court, doing more. And then they'll get a better sense, but probably 2 or 3 games left in the regular season, whether Zion Williamson can return to this season. New Orleans bunched up, you know, with a number of teams fighting for those final play-in spots in the West. And so 2 weeks, I think both Zion Williamson and the Pelicans will have a better idea if he's ready to come back, if there's time left in this season. Where are the Pelicans in the standings? Do the game still mean something? And is he ready to return? Clear picture in about 14 days.
Right, because 2 weeks puts us at about April 5th, and their season, regular season, ends around April 9th. Woj, thank you. Please do not go too far. The stat, though, Chiné, that is a little bit staggering to me, he has played, Zion Williamson, in 114 of 298 games over 4 years in his career. Again, 114 games over 4 years in his career. That translates to roughly 38% of games played.
Wow.
What do you make of this? Take a look.
Okay, what I make of this is, what is the risk and what is the return? Because to me, it's very high risk for a player of his caliber. If there's 2 or 3 games left and you see that you're in the, 12th or so spot, even though you can move up, do you want him to come back and sort of jeopardize his position right now at this point in the season? Or are you already doing what we've done multiple times and say, all right, let's give him a better shot next year? I think that's hard because we love Zion. I think when he hits the floor, he's like, probably like 50-60%
electric
from the field, 26 points per game. But then as like, you just want to protect him at all costs. And I just don't see so much upside. And okay, he's back to play the final 2 games of a season where maybe you make the playoffs. What is the benefit in that? Mm.
Look, short term, they're already 12th. Jose Alvarado is also going to miss most of the rest of the season, if not all of it. They've been banged up across the board. CJ McCollum's playing with an injury in his thumb and his shooting hand, which has hampered him. I just, without Zion, I just don't see how they can hang in this race. I mean, I think they have probably the least chance to make the play-in of all the teams that we just showed on the crazy standings. Here's their schedule. It's pretty tough. It's even between home and road. They don't get a great schedule benefit. Their tiebreaker situation isn't great. They're just shorthanded. Long-term, with Zion, they're awesome. That's how good he is. He takes this team and he makes them awesome. 114 games in 4 years. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm not saying that someone has made a mistake here or there's blame to be thrown around. 114 games in 4 years. At what point do we start talking about this like kind of a crisis for the Pelicans? Like, how can you build your team with the uncertainty of when is this guy going to play? That's 25 games a year, and I just don't know. I mean, hopefully next year he plays more, but this is every season, and I just don't know when we start talking about this is like, this seems to is like a permanent state of affairs now, and the whole organization is up in the air because of it.
You know
what's
what
so funny?
Because I would trade him. I would actually trade Zion.
To who?
I would find
somebody.
I would find someone and trade him because, again, you just asked the question about, for us, like, basically, can you trust him to be your franchise guy? And since he came in the league, no, because you can't trust that he's going to be available on the floor. And so when I look at this situation, I'm like, okay, this is starting to be a trend. Like, every single season, we're like, oh, Zion then lost weight. Zion looks healthy. Then all of a sudden, this happens. If I'm the Pelicans, I have Brandon Ingram. I have C.J. McCollum. I have a bunch of young pieces that are over there playing extremely hard, that has a bright future. I would actually consider trading him this offseason, to be honest with you.
That's a bold one, Perk, and I actually don't think it's that off the wall, because they do have a bunch of good young players. Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, yeah. Dyson Daniels, yep. On and on. They also have a million picks, including a lot of Lakers picks, which could be pretty valuable. I just, trading someone at this point in his value is usually a losing proposition, although they would find someone. They would find someone because mm-hmm. the talent is that enticing. To me, that feels early. It feels sad. But the word you use, trust, that makes it seem like it's like someone's fault.
No.
It just is what it is.
It's basically me.
He doesn't play.
Well, I'm questioning, like, when I say trust, do you trust his body?
And that's the thing. He is a linebacker playing football and jumping through the roof. We just haven't seen that mm-hmm. body type ever.
Yeah. Right. Well, and the fact of the matter is he hasn't played since January 2nd. He's missed the last 35 games. And you said, well, can you trust him to play more than 25? The most games that he's played consecutively is 25 games. Wow. And that's just what we're looking at here tonight.
Yeah, that is what we're looking at. I do think that when he is on the floor, he sort of makes you feel like you can forget all of those things.
Right.
He's that solid.
Good point.
He's young. He's capable. Also, like, there's so many underrated aspects of his game, his ability to pass, his ability to dribble, his ability to score. And this is what I love about him the most. You don't have to run a play for Zion Williamson to be successful. He can go out there and get you quiet, efficient buckets. But I do understand a little bit what this feels like, because I'm someone who has dealt with two major injuries. I missed a lot of games. But, you know, I joined a team where I was not necessarily like the franchise player, just so that I can prove that I still have value. He is the franchise player. He's the guy that you build around. He's the one that was transcended around the entire game. And so I do think that it's hard to trust in what you're seeing by the numbers. But you also know that trust is like, oh, I'm good when you see him on the floor. They got closer to finding a good system for Zion, because this year he looked better, he looked stronger,
yeah.
And then you still got the same result. You just have to sort of hope that, all right, maybe we can keep minimizing those games that you miss to have a productive season.
I just think about sitting down with him on media day in New Orleans and him, the look on his face, how excited he was to feel like he was healthy, like he was getting going, and then it just is unfortunately the same story. And we hope, as fans of the game, man, you just want to see Zion out there, because he is so much fun to watch. We are reacting to the news, the development that he will be reevaluated. He's resumed basketball, cleared for basketball activities. He will be reevaluated, Zion Williamson, in 2 weeks. Let's get to Ja Morant, another developing story that we've been following. Memphis head coach Taylor Jenkins said Morant is making his return for the Grizzlies after serving an 8-game suspension for conduct that was detrimental to the league. For more, I want to welcome back senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, what is the plan for Ja Morant tonight?
Well, just what Taylor Jenkins said yesterday, and that's make his return to this season. He was eligible to play on Monday against Dallas, but he had been away from basketball enough that he needed some time to ramp up. He got on the court on Monday, was at practice on Tuesday, and then was at the team shoot-around today. So he's ready to make his return to a Grizzly season that, without him, you know, this team has continued to play well. They've solidified themselves, you know, at the top of the Western standings, just behind Denver. And now they get back their superstar as they start to make kind of round third, head for home on the regular season, and then make their push in the playoffs.
They're 34-19 with Morant. Without Morant, they are 10-8. Woj, thank you so much for keeping us updated and informed with all of the news around the NBA. We still have a lot to get to on this show, though, because Jason Tatum, he laid the smackdown in Sacramento last night. Can I say the smackdown in Sacktown?
Yeah, you can.
All right. Here we go with the
SmackDown is SmackDown. It's a good thing Mark Jones, who has much better bars than I, is joining us right here on NBA Today. Did y'all see this from Donovan Mitchell?
Yes.
I mean, insane. We need a spider top of the top.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is presented by American Express. Don't live life without it.
Willis was the guy who kept us together. He was the galvanizer for our team. He was the captain.
The players all had such great respect, not only on the Knicks, but around the league.
We got a whistle on the play, and Willis is hurt.
I was thinking, well, there goes the championship. At that point, I just figured, well, that's the end of it. We can't do it without Willis.
That was the moment to try. I mean, if I was going to fail, I wanted to fail there with the rest of our guys trying to get it done, and because that's the kind of team we had.
The Lakers have stopped, and they're just watching Willis go through his warm-ups.
They stopped warming up. They stopped doing what they were doing to look and see how Willis was. Something told me then we might have these guys.
Then he goes on to hit his first two shots, both from the side, jump shots 15, 20 feet out. And, of course, the crowd is, it is one of the louder crowds I've heard at any event.
The New York Knicks are the world champions.
And truly, again, our congratulations. You've offered, I think, the best that the human spirit can offer.
Willis Reed died on Tuesday, and that moment from Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals, it has become one of the most iconic images in all of sports. Watching that video back, I actually got goosebumps. And the Knicks remembered their former captain in a statement saying, "We will always strive to uphold the standards he left behind, the unmatched leadership, sacrifice, and work ethic that personified him as a champion among champions." Now, the Knicks, they were off, but arenas across the NBA paid tribute to Reed before tip-off. That included the NHL with the Rangers playing in Madison Square Garden last night. And then voices across social media, they remembered Reed as well. Sixers head coach Doc Rivers, he said, "I loved this man. He was my assistant coach when I was a player. And with the Hawks, he was simply a great person, a man, a leader, a winner." And then Carmelo Anthony posted this photo of himself with Reed and LeBron James with the caption, "Rest in power, Captain." And then here is today's New York Daily News with the headline, "He was our heart." NBA Today will be back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With less than a month left in the season, the West couldn't be more jammed up.
I mean, it's the NBA. If you're not cut out for this, you're in the wrong business. Would I rather have a sound and secure spot in the postseason? Yeah, who wouldn't?
Back on the wall, I'm ready for war. If I beat them before, I could beat them again. They thought I was done. I went on a run and beat all the odds and got even again.
As a competitor, you relish in the moments of the most important games, and we're coming down to the home stretch. Every game is so vital for our playoff stakes.
The countdown is on because there are only 18 days left in the regular season. So much in the West, it remains in flux. So for more, we're joined by ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne. You wrote a story that was published on ESPN.com this morning about Karl Anthony Towns. He's been sidelined since November 28th, but is expected to return tonight. I think a question that a lot of folks have is just, What took so long, frankly?
Yeah, I mean, when he first went down, I think the expectation would be just be a couple of months, right? Mm-hmm. It was a grade 3 calf strain, which is basically a tear, so it's a very serious injury. But about 6 weeks into the recovery process, he essentially retore it. He was in the boot, got out of the boot for 1 week, got back on the court, was doing some jab sets, did a little too much, and just completely retore the calf muscle and right back in the boot. But this time, you have to be even more careful when you have a calf injury that serious. He had to get blood drawn out of it. It would pool in his calf. He had a boot on. I mean, it was a really uncomfortable injury. And it's the kind of injury you don't mess around with as a big man, because we all saw what happens when big men like Kevin Durant have a calf injury that could lead to an Achilles injury. But he feels great now.
Okay, so he is on his way back, and the Wolves, they are firmly in the play-in picture. They sit at ninth. What is Kat saying about reintegrating with this team that he's been away with for a while?
I mean, he hasn't been on the bench because of the nature of the injury. You can't sit there at 7 feet tall with your foot in a boot and have the blood pool into your calf, right? So he was in the back watching, but he was taking notes. He's like, I have papers full of notes that I was sharing with Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards. He goes, I am so excited to get going with these two players, because my job as the veteran is to make them great. He and Anthony Edwards have gotten much closer this year, and he goes, I can make his life easy. I can make Rudy Gobert's life easy. He goes, Anthony Edwards should be out there. He said, I want to see him be great, reach levels of greatness. I can help him do that. He's so young. I want to make his job as easy as possible. Kat is a willing passer, and I remember talking to him last year. Both of them number one overall picks. He knows the pressure that goes along with that. He went through that with this organization. He wants to be the vet that he didn't have when he came into the league.
Interesting. I'm taking notes.
Literally has binders. It's sitting in Christmas.
I mean, that's what Chinee and Zach do when they're not on a segment. They're sitting off to the side taking notes. But the Wolves, the way that the West is laid out right now, they're only a half game behind the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are in a big one tonight against the Golden State Warriors. What are you hearing on the status of Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic for that one?
Luka Doncic has been missed the last five games with that thigh injury, but he's going to be back tonight. And he's been very diligent in his rehab. He could have come back maybe a little sooner, but they wanted to make sure he was really back to stay back. That's one of those injuries that you don't want to have a relapse here. But they are they're in such a tight race there. I mean, this is a rematch of the Western Conference Finals last year, but it's basically a game to stay out of the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
The Warriors and the Mavs are right there at 6-7, and this game is so important for both of them. And, Luka Doncic comes back in this game. The Warriors don't have Andrew Wiggins, don't have Gary Payton Jr., but I heard some good news on Gary Payton Jr. He's been working out. He's had that core muscle injury the whole time, which is essentially just strengthening his core. Like, they want to make sure that core is going to hold up. And they're optimistic that he can come back in the next couple of games.
Oh, that's some good news for Golden State there. It's going to be a big one tonight on ESPN. Ramona Shelburne, thank you so very much. There's just so much left, though, that's going to decide the playoff picture. The standings, they shuffle so much each night. Take a look at how they are right now, because they won't stay that way for long, especially following our ESPN doubleheader tonight. It starts with the Mavs and the Warriors, and then it's followed with the Suns and the Lakers. Kurt Goldsberry, he has more.
The Warriors come into Dallas just one game over 500 in clinging to the last guaranteed playoff spot out west. How has this happened?
We're trying to win a road game.
Simply put, this team wins at home and loses on the road.
Welcome to the Warriors road trip.
And the differences are staggering. Everything is golden at home, where the Dubs still look like champs. They are 29-7, ranked 5th in net rating and 3rd in defense. But everything falls apart away from the Bay. On the road, the Warriors are 8-29, ranked 27th in net rating, and get this, 28th in defense. Last year's title team ranked 4th in road defense. And as for Monday's victory in Houston, it was Golden State's first road win since January.
The 11-game road losing streak is over.
The biggest single difference is their opponent's three-point shooting. The road Warriors are allowing teams to make over 40% of their threes this year, and those teams are racking up over 43 points per night on triples alone.
Kind of sick of it at this point.
The Dubs rank 29th in both opponent three-point percentage and opponent three-pointers made per game. That's bad.
Find that competitive nature. I know it's in there.
This dynasty was built on beating teams from beyond the three-point line. It's now on the ropes because opponents are giving the Splash Brothers a taste of their own medicine.
Thank you, Kirk. Next on NBA Today, Jason Tatum, he was on fire last night in Sacramento, but we've got the voice of the Kings and ESPN's Mark Jones here to tell us what's right.
Fox pulls up for the winner. Got it! Express yourself! Domas! Dynamite! Curry, butter! He set off the smoke detector!
21. Can you do something for me? Put them on a flight like an IG model. Get the Louis up there.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mark Jones, chopping it up at the Champions Lounge Cafeteria at ESPN Los Angeles. Hey, I'm your host, and lunchtime is about to begin, so let's get straight to the action. Oh, she hit it with the sauce. Straight butter. Oh, my, that's hotter than fish grease. Oh, put it on a platter. Splash down. Put those chips on a flight like an IG model. You know, something about lunchtime reveals responsibilities and how you handle those responsibilities, the weight of those responsibilities, and in the end, you can answer the question, do those answers work for you or not? Do those responsibilities devastate you or elevate you? NBA Today and Malika, lunch is over. Back to you.
There is nothing that Mark Jones cannot call. I mean, excellent acting from our production staff, Brianna, Forrest, Jalen.
I just ruined lunchtime.
I think you elevated.
I'm actually hungry now.
Oh, we can get you some food if you'll eat on air, but Zach has a no eating on television
rule. He has done it before.
There's no way to look good eating.
He's done it once before.
I think that we can challenge. I think that sitting next to Mark Jones, you would look good eating on television, Zach.
We'll make it happen.
Mark Jones is the voice of the NBA on ESPN, but he is also also the voice of the Sacramento Kings. And last night you called your game against the Celtics, a Kings game against the Celtics. So let's go there now. And why am I going to call this highlight when I have you here, Mark Jones, to break down De'Aaron Fox and the Kings hosting Jason Tatum and the Celtics?
Yeah, it had a great playoff vibe to it, Malika. When you look at the Celtics, number two, Jason Tatum coming in, 30 points a game, and a great test, albeit on the second night of a back-to-back. De'Aaron was on his game early, and it was interesting to see how they were going to do offensively and whether, you know, Boston could take them out of their stuff on the defensive end. Jaylen Brown is a handful, and everybody knows that this guy right here, Domas Sabonis, another triple-double. I mean, what, it must be Wednesday if he's notching another one, right?
Absolutely. And then Jason Tatum gets it to go. A little and-one action with 1 second left in the first half of the game. Gets that to drop. It was a close first half, Mark Jones. And then some things started to get off the rails a little bit more.
Yeah, they started to get out in the open court a little bit. And Jason Tatum was a man possessed. He made some tweaks to his three-point shot in a couple of pregame workouts and was hitting from the mid-post. And really, Sacramento didn't have anything for him in terms of being able to corral him at the defensive end.
And then in the fourth quarter, this is when it's a 15-point game. Jaylen Brown, who's been exceptional for Boston, going to work inside, gets it done there. Jaylen Brown, once again, Derek White finds Jason Tatum to put the finishing touches on this game. Let's take one more look at that, Janae.
Oh, my goodness. This guy, they needed this one right here. Confidence booster.
Well, after a less than stellar 15-point game in their loss to the Jazz, Jason Tatum, he got back to his usual ways, finished with 36 points in the win against Sacramento. He is now 39, has 39 30-point games this season. That matches Larry Bird for the most 30-point games in a season in Celtics history. And I was just sitting next to Mark Jones smiling as he was going through. I will never have that voice. Like, that is just, that's the good stuff right there. But what stood out to you from last night, Mark?
I came away from it with the sense that, you know, Sacramento is right there, Malika. Mm. Boston has already been there. But I think ultimately when it comes to the playoffs that Sacramento is going to have to make some defensive improvement. In the playoffs, we all know that the speed of the game is a little bit different. It slows down a little bit. But the beauty of Mike Brown's read and react conceptual type of offense is that, you know, everything starts with movement. Mm. There's not a lot of standing still. There's dribble handoffs. There's back cuts. So there's a lot going on there offensively. And, you know, credit to Boston. They just played better last night.
Well, we can't talk about Boston and not talk to our resident Celtic, Big Perk. What did you make of that one?
The Celtics in their physicality, right? When Jason Tatum, when he's attacking downhill and playing with force, it's night and day for the Boston Celtics. When they decide to be that team that live by the three, die by the three, then all of a sudden it's a different story. But we see this Jason Tatum right here that's attacking the paint, using those wide shoulders, getting to the basket, cutting without the basketball, setting the tone and playing with that passion, that tenacity. You can see it all in his face. This version of Jason Tatum is what we want to see, is what Celtic fans want to see on a consistent basis. Mm.
Well, the Sacramento Kings, though, going back to them for a minute, they're not just a sweet story,
no,
right?
No.
16 consecutive losing seasons. They snapped that. 16 consecutive seasons without making the playoffs. They are going to snap that. What's been the key to their success?
I think when you look at Sabonis and Fox, that dynamic has really been driving everything. Sacramento, a team that hangs its hat at the offensive end, the number one rated offense, high scoring offense. And Mike Brown, you know, if people were paying attention this summer, he put his offense in with the Nigerian national team. Hmm. Shanae, I know you're feeling that, right? They defeated USA Basketball. People thought it was a fluke. It wasn't. But a lot of the elements in that offense that the Nigerian national team used are the same ones that Sacramento is using in a very prolific way right now. And it's hard to stop them. Mm.
Yeah, they're a pain to play against. I talked to Jordy Fernandez, their associate head coach there today in Brooklyn. He said, you know, in the playoffs, they say things slow down. We won't slow down. We won't slow down. I like it. They play with pace, and they play with pace, to your point, in the half court. Everything they do in the half court is fast. Like, they're hard to play against. It takes, and it starts with the Sabonis dribble handoff game, pick and roll with Fox, and the dribble handoff game with Kevin Herter, Keegan Murray. Herter's injured right now, but just like all the stuff they can do, you overplay the handoff, he just takes it to the rim and like runs you over. He's a beast. And this, just look at all this stuff. Come up the gut of the court instead of the outside. Inside handoff, pick and roll. Sabonis, now you got to send crisis help because he's going to run that dude over. And Harrison Barnes gets a wide open court and three. He misses, but process. Oh, and he makes it. I thought he missed that one. Sorry, Harrison.
Makes a lot of those, yeah.
And just, this is the one that I know the Kings internally loved. Keegan Murray getting more aggressive, mixing it up with Domas and back cutting instead of coming for that handoff. Watch Domas' reaction when he catches this. Turns to the bench, pumps his fist and screams. That was a little moment for Keegan Murray, who I think is making a run at first team all rookie. And remember, people kind of laughed at the Kings for picking him over Jaden Ivey. Keegan Murray is a good player.
That's a great dynamic that you point out there, Zach, between Sabonis and Murray, because that's his rook. Perk, you know how important that relationship is when you've got a vet like Sabonis that's not making you get donuts every morning, not making you wear the Dora backpack. He's encouraging him. Sabonis does that for all of his teammates. Terrence Davis, another guy who is a key part off the bench for Sacramento, encouraging him all the time. And, you know, what Fox has done, I think, though, has really been remarkable. Mike Brown has coached him as hard as De'Aaron's been coached all year.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron, to his credit, has responded. And Mike will be quick to call De'Aaron out a lot of times in front of the team, so everyone else has to fall in line, and Fox has been great handling that.
Coach of the Year, I'm on that train.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, because we think about where they've been at and where they've come to today. Like, they've been missing culture. Mike Brown established it. Like, you talk about calling out De'Aaron Fox, that's part of the culture, right? Like, I'm going to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Everybody else go fall in line.
As much as I wish that Mark Jones was just down here to hang out with us, he's actually here on official duties as well, because the Wild West, it continues to take shape. You'll have a call across the street. The Lakers, the Suns. The Lakers are tied for 11th. The Suns have lost 4 of 5. They're still sitting in 4th, though. What do you have your eyes on in this one?
Man, I'm going to be watching that guy right there, Devin Booker, coming off another 40-point game. And I think Phoenix is a team that is ready-made to re-enter KD into the lineup and just take off. I've got them going to the Western Conference Finals and going to the NBA Finals this year. They were a very tough matchup prior to Sacramento. We played against them before the break, right after the break, and Chris Paul is on an upward arc, even though his recent shooting has been down a little bit.
Yeah, I really wanted to say that this matchup really comes down to the bigs. I know that we'll likely see Anthony Davis out there, not sure on the other side of the ball, but this team, the Lakers, they go as AD goes. And it's not just the double-doubles that you think about with Anthony Davis. You want to see those 40-point outbursts, especially without LeBron James. You want to see him dominate. But it really goes as his defense goes. The Lakers, the last 3-4 years, they've been successful in this recent iteration of LeBron James's career as a defensive team. That is their identity. That is their bread and butter. They have a lot of guys that they acquired after the trade deadline that are defenders first and foremost. AD is the heart and soul of the defense. He should be. So I think if they defend through AD and he, you know, really competes at a high level, that gives the Lakers their best shot. But I do agree that the Suns, I mean, things are looking all right over there.
And tonight he should be eating because, as you mentioned, DeAndre Ayton, he is out. This is according to Dwayne Rankin, with a right hip contusion. He suffered it last Thursday. And Bismack Miyambo obviously started in his place last time. So this is an opportunity for Anthony Davis here.
I'm just saying, are we going to sit up here and ignore the guy who was getting MVP chance for the Lakers?
Question is, should Austin Reeves be in the starting lineup at this point? Question we're going to get into on NBA Countdown. How is that? How is that for a team?
Can I just say that no DeAndre Ayton, as long as Mark Jones is here, that's deleterious.
Very pejorative, very hurtful, yes.
Deleterious.
Yes.
Say it again.
Deleterious. Zach, I like that.
Like a Mark Jones word.
It is. Did you do this with your daughter, Sophia, when you guys were on the call together? Was there some vocabulary that went back and forth? I loved this moment, Mark Jones, when you got to call a game next to your daughter. I said this on our show before. I don't think I have ever. We've seen brothers call games. We'd seen fathers and sons. I have never seen a father-daughter duo.
Guys, it was right up there with being able to call the NBA Finals last year. My daughter, Sophia, her middle name should be League Pass, because she stays up and watches throughout her adult life.
Sophia's better.
Yeah, Sophia's better. Her middle name, League Pass.
LP. I like
LP. LP, there you go.
SLP.
She'll be sitting down to the couch with me, you know, saying, oh, Daddy, that was a great rip screen, or man, that was a fantastic pocket pass. They ran zipper that time. Or she just knows the game. She grew up around the game, plays at San Jose State as a sophomore. So that was a highlight for me.
But your older daughter's ringtone is what? It is the call.
We're a Miami Heat family because they grew up in Miami. So it's the call of Ray Allen's miraculous Game 6 shot. Every time you call my daughter Glory Jones, you'll hear that when she doesn't answer.
I love that. This is a basketball family. It's a good thing that Mark Jones is not going anywhere. We have much more to get to with him on NBA Today. Just a reminder, here's our NBA Wednesday doubleheader. It starts in the Lone Star State. Steph and the Warriors finishing up their 5-game road trip against Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the Mavericks.
Knicks. And then at 4:30, 7:30 Pacific, we have L.A. and A.D. hosting Devin Booker and the Suns. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern. This is nuts. This is crazy. Good thing we have Mark Jones to call some dunks for us coming up next.
I'm taking this already for the upper room.
We should have
been too late. I texted him last night. Too late. Let's check out last night's one top play brought to you by Uber One. Donovan Mitchell, I'm so sorry, Utah.
Now don't do it to him.
Oh!
My goodness. I mean, it was the dunk of the night, and then I saw Paul George's 360, but whoo-wee!
Take it from me.
Donovan's different this year.
Let's take a listen to Donovan Mitchell talking about the slam after the game.
But everybody's reaction, they kept right in the timeout, was like, that's your best one. And I saw it, and it's up there. I don't know if it's my best one, but it's definitely up there. I have to go look at it and check it out.
All right, he doesn't know if it's the number one dunk, but don't worry, Donovan, we got you. We have a very special top of the top sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, just of your top dunks. Mark Jones, would you like to call the first one? Let's let you
look
a little
love
on this
to.
One. Let's
Donovan get Mitchell. It. He called it one of his best. This is another one. One of my favorites right here. Donovan here against the Knicks. Watch him. Donovan Mitchell snakes the screen, spins like a DJ. Oh, he took Hartenstein's heart away.
Oh! He said he took Hartenstein's heart away.
Like this is DJ.
That's too smooth
that
with
was
it.
That was it. That was
Let's
it.
See what else Donovan Mitchell has for us. Reacting on the fly here. Oh, yeah. Who could forget this one? This is his rookie year, right?
Oh!
Nobody boxed him out.
Boxed him out. Like, you're like, oh, wow,
I didn't say, no, just boxed him out. Everyone's standing there doing nothing. Nobody boxes out no more.
I think this is Jazz Nation, led by producer Condis, was all in on the Utah Jazz. It was that moment. Oh, right over the top of Lonzo Ball there. And then, once again, with the sorry, Chanae.
Oh, I mean, like, you could have a whole mixtape on everybody getting career highs and getting highlighted.
The Rockets
this
were in
is
the
Rockets
playoffs?
Glory days
yeah.
right here. This is
Glory
playoffs. Days Rockets.
Wait, sorry. I thought this was this year.
No.
Oh, yeah. There's Capella.
He's not a Jazz anymore.
Put them all out.
There's Ariza.
I know.
Okay.
You just saw the Rockets. You started to squint and look away. Yeah. We know that you're guarding yourself.
And Harden got into the play.
Yeah, he got a piece, too.
Well, and then.
Forgive me.
Once again.
Oh,
no. Oh, look at this. He walks out of the way.
You got to scratch the roof.
It's flying charter.
Oh, not one. And then we would be remiss not to show this. Miami.
Uh-oh.
2018.
Uh-oh. This happened in Dade County.
Yeah. You know which one I'm talking about, Mark.
Oh, yes, it was. Donovan Mitchell. It's that humidity that got Miami that night. No, it was Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, it's the humidity? Yeah. That's what gets
it Donovan, yeah.
So now that we've seen them all, Zach, where are we putting the one from last night? Best? Close?
I think we should have a league-wide non-aggression pact against Yuta Watanabe. Like, enough dunking on Yuta Watanabe. I think that one might be the
we
best.
We didn't show the Anthony Edwards
well,
one.
Well, good. That should be part of the non-aggression pact. But I would rank last night's the best.
We practice kindness here. We practice consideration
People
here.
People got families.
We also we are also very, very petty.
So what was the word you used earlier, Zach?
Deleterious.
Deleterious. I hear that we have a new character of Kendrick Perkins coming out today. It's Perks Poetry Day. Whoa. Mark Jones, you got to stick around for this one.
Do I?
Yes, sit down. Perks.
NBA Today is presented by American Express. Don't live life without it.
I missed World Poetry's Day yesterday, so I had to get in my bag. When the world expects you to zig, Big Perk likes to zag. They say I have a way with words, so check this poem out right here. Cause when I get finished, you'll be calling me the Black Shakespeare. It's 3 weeks to the playoffs, and it will be drama indeed. I stand by my title pick of Philly, led by Harden and Embiid. The C's and Bucks have left the Eastern Conference just mauled. Richard's calves aren't too bad either. Oh, by the way, bro, you still ball. Out west, the Kings keep lighting the beam up like no other. Finally rolling into the playoffs like their NorCal big brother. Speaking of the Dubs,
Has the dynasty finally fallen? Can't count them out just yet. On the big stage, they always ballin'. Down in Hollywood, the script will be something to see. Will it be a storybook ending for Austin Reeves or LeBron and AD? In my home state of Texas, plenty of riveting TV. Not talking about the Spurs or the Rockets, but of course Luka and Kyrie. D-Book and CP can't wait to play with their new top toy. But KD's home debut still awaits because of that dang my boy. I didn't forget about the Thunder, Knicks, Wolves, or the Heat. I wasn't wasting my breath about teams that will be beat. When I check my Twitter, those team fans will be in a tizzy. But make no mistake, I feel the same way about Denver and the Grizzlies. Some other team playoff chances have long been very gone. I hope you get Wembanyama. Until then, carry the hell on.
I mean, when you said, they say I have a way with words, so check this poem right here, because when I get finished, you'll be calling me the Black Shakespeare?
Yeah.
You went right for Shakespeare. Yeah. You ain't yeah. The highest
spot. No. This was not Maya Angelou.
Right to the top.
This was, he was like.
And you got to reach it.
It's the beret for me, bro. Yeah,
you had the whole package up.
And you had the beard glistening and everything.
The angles and everything, every angle.
Do you perform at bars ever, like at poetry slams?
He will now.
I mean, you know, you got to jump outside your comfort zone every now and then.
I got to say, though, Perk, you didn't forget about the Thunder, the Knicks, the Wolves, the Heat, because those teams will be beat.
Bam.
I mean, I got to keep it real.
And the Richard line calling him, I mean, where is Richard?
Gotta stay pity.
Like, he stopped even showing. I mean, one more snaps for Perk. I mean, beautiful spoken word. You snap it for yourself. Zach's finding a rhythm with it. Let's get a couple more snaps for tonight's games on our air, because I don't want to underscore. Zach, the Warriors and the Mavs, you said earlier today that this is the biggest game of the regular season.
Biggest game of the season so far. The Warriors are a game up on the Mavs in the win column, tied in the loss column. The tiebreaker between them gets decided tonight. Think of what these teams have at stake. The Warriors are defending champions. The Mavericks just lost Jalen Brunson, traded a bunch of stuff for Kyrie, who can be in free agency. Neither of those teams want to be in the play-in. Tonight is a huge game.
You've seen the Mavs up close a couple of times recently this season. What's sticking out to you about what they need to do tonight, Mark?
I think they need a lot of help, especially at the defensive end. I don't know. I think it's too late to plug that. They've got to be able to have other guys like Hardaway Jr. be significant contributors at a time when Kyrie and Luka are less than optimum.
And then the other game on our air, the Suns and the Lakers. You said that you were keeping an eye on Anthony Davis in this one. On the other side, what are you watching, Kine?
Honestly, I think the Suns are not in a horrible position right now. I mean, if you think about when they get healthy, they're going to feel like, hey, we didn't slip too far in the standings. We're not one of those teams that we've been talking about in the Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. I think they're good. They just want to make sure they win the games that they're supposed to win, and they can definitely beat these Lakers squad.
Perk, what are you watching in that one?
I'm going for the Lakers defense overall. I think they have established their identity defensively, although offensively they struggle at times. But I just want to see Anthony Davis continue to impose his will.
Yep.
Like, demand the ball, want the ball. Like, I'm watching him rim run and seal with a purpose. I'm watching him swing it to me, give it to me, let me go to work and let me create for others. Like, that's the AD I want to see.
Karl Anthony Towns also returns to action. Ja Morant, big night tonight. Mark, what's the word that you want Perk to get in on Countdown tonight? What's the homework here?
On Countdown, magisterial.
Oh!
Magisterial.
Magisterial.
All right, we're going to get that in on NBA Countdown. The four of us will be back then. Mark Jones will have the call tonight. We'll see you.